Welcome back, everyone, to another Capital Market Series episode with the New Gen Mindset Podcast. Nick, how are you, man?
I'm not bad. I mean, other than the world, you know, still doing what it does, you know, there's still always opportunities in the market. So right back to square one.
Yeah, I think we're going to take a break from the stuff that we've really been focusing on, commodities, Bitcoin, you know, metrics and stuff like that, and looking at economic data as well. And we're going to talk about something that is a very underrated type of story, I think. And with us here today, he is the vice president and director of Beyond Oil, which is a company listed on the CSE and the OTCQB. With us here today is Robert Kiesman.
Hello, Dan. Nick, good to see you, gentlemen.
So, Robert, the way we like to kind of start off the story, or any story, basically, is kind of get to know the people. So, sure. Obviously, we're going to touch into the backstory of the company, but sure. More in the sense of how you kind of got yourself involved with the story, and then, you know, touch into the backstory of Beyond Oil.
Sure thing. Well, the path of me getting involved in this company is actually a little bit amusing, because the investor deck was sent to me by a friend of mine about, I think, 3 years ago. And I looked at it for about a minute. I didn't like anything about it. I used the investor deck that I had printed for a doodle pad for about 2 months. And never thought of it again. And a couple of months later, a guy that I've done a lot of business with called me out of the blue and mentioned something about Israel. And I said, you know, after the call was finishing up, I said, oh, somebody sent me this deck on an Israeli company, and it's, you know, bad deal. I would never consider doing it. And he said, well, send it over to me. I've made a lot of money in Israel, so send it over to me and I'll have a look, because they have a lot of great technology in that country. So I sent it to him. I think he called me back 2 minutes later and said, this is the first time in my 50-year career that I decided I'm doing a deal the second I looked at it. I don't even think he finished walking through the deck. And I said, well, have fun. You're going on it without me. I'm not interested at all. And he spent about 2 months talking me into doing it. I reluctantly went along with it. And it took me about a year to really realize the opportunity that we had signed on to, because it was during COVID. We couldn't fly to Israel and go meet these people or look at the technology. But they finally were able to come to Vancouver about 10 months later and did a demo for us with the powder into the used oil that we had supplied. We wanted to have control over the test. And we kind of had an aha, or at least I had an aha moment at that stage. It was about 6 months after I signed the LOI to take them public. And so I was very reluctant and actually quite miserable that I signed the deal up until then. But when I saw the product work and I brought it to an independent lab and got testing and talked to people in the industry, I then realized the opportunity that we had. So I slowly became more and more involved with it. I helped close the deal, raise the money, and went on to the PubCo board. But since then, about a year ago, I decided that after spending about a year and a half, you know, getting involved with these people and talking to people in the industry, I finally even more realized how big this opportunity could be. And I decided to jump in with both feet on the management team about a year ago. So it was a very reluctant staged process and unlikely process of me getting involved.
So just so the listeners are aware, and I take responsibility for maybe not introducing the whole company, but Beyond Oil exists to provide disruptive solutions for food processing and food service companies, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Striving to produce and serve healthier food, right? Mm-hmm. We all love French fries, but the grease that it's being cooked in is not good for you. As much as we like the saltiness of it, right? So you guys are on a mission to really increase sustainability and save costs for a lot of these producers as well, which, again, something that doesn't really get talked about, but it's something that I think over time, as people get older, they're like, my health is my top priority, right? So I got to take care of myself. And I think the world is slowly waking up to that. So you mentioned something really interesting. You're like, there was something about the deal with the opportunity that really caught your attention. What was that real aha moment for you when you look back on it now and you're like, this is a much bigger opportunity?
So Dan, that's a good question, because the point you made earlier about everybody eats French fries and everybody likes French fries, right? So everybody eats fast food. We eat fried food outside of fast food restaurants. But what I never realized, and this was one of the reasons I really didn't want to do this deal originally when it first came to me, is I didn't know anything about how bad the cooking oil got as you continued to fry it day after day. I had no idea. I mean, I knew it was unhealthy, as you've mentioned. There's trans fats and there's, you know, bad stuff in there, but I didn't realize the extent of it. And so when you look at what oil looks like after 2, 3, sometimes 4 days of frying, and maybe you want to pull a photo up here that we've got on our public investor deck, but it really turns black and putrid. I mean, you could see in the bottom right box there, that's about 3 or 4 days of frying in that black jar. That's what the oil looks like. So we are eating.
Oh my gosh.
When you eat French fries, when you eat chicken strips or whatever it is you're eating at these places, that is what you're eating. And then when you put our powder in at the end of the day and mix it around for 15 minutes and filter it, it looks like the jar on the right. So when the aha moment for me came when I saw this oil go from black and smelly to gold and not smelly and clean in about 15 minutes. So when I saw that happen, I thought, wow, this is something that is, you know, inherently helpful to our health, but it's also visually, like you can look at that, like look at the reaction you just had just by looking at it. Well, the other senses that get triggered in this process are smell, frankly. If you smell that oil before and after treatment, it's unbelievable the difference. So everybody looks at this and says, okay, I'm putting that into my body. I would much rather put in jar number 2 into my fries than jar number 1. So when I realized how big of a problem this was, and how we actually have a solution for it, that's when I had the moment in my mind when I realized what we had.
And, well, the thing that stands out for me is the one without it literally looks like car oil. So that kind of turns my stomach a little bit. And when you see something that's gold like that, it's like, oh my gosh, like I know it's been bad for me, but you know, at some point you got to look at yourself and say, this is probably, there needs to be a change here. So there's obviously a much bigger picture here at play. Right.
And then we have to put it more into context. It's not just fries at the end of the day, you know, like most restaurants, whether it's fried calamari, whether it's arancini, meatballs, you name it. Most restaurants have a fryer and they use it almost in so many components of their food. So, you know, it's not limited to fries. It can touch to so many other food categories that people don't even realize that might get pre-fried or something. So there's a good chance that when you go out and eat, your food's touching this. And if you look at it just from the fast food industry, that whole industry is survives off of fried food.
Absolutely. And to your point, Nick, it's not just restaurants, it's industrial frying applications. Like if you go to the grocery store, some of the frozen products, they are fried already. So this is a huge industry. And it's a problem that's largely been ignored, not completely, but largely been ignored. And we have a solution to these problems, the health problems, the cost problems, the environmental problems. So, for example, why is that oil in jar number 1 black? The reason it's black is very simple. When you continue to fry food in oil over and over and over, day after day, the oil accumulates toxins. Okay, just like car oil does with inside of an engine. So after you use the oil, you get things like free fatty acids. You get metals, believe it or not. And the one that always gets people's attention is actually hard to believe, but it's plastic molecules. So plastic molecules form in the oil after you fry food. It's unbelievable. And that causes it to smoke and turn black. But you also have a whole number of other very potent toxins, like acrylamide, for example, which is a known cause of cancer.
Carcinogens.
Exactly. So the reason that oil is black is because it's loaded with toxins. Very simple. Beyond Oil has a powder that is FDA approved, Health Canada approved, that you dump some into the oil, you spin it around and filter it, and it removes the toxins. It's a very simple story. You remove the toxins from the oil, and that's why the oil looks cleaner and smells cleaner, because it actually is cleaner. Okay, so it's like taking a shower after having a a heavy workout. Why do you smell after a workout? You're sweaty. You got all kinds of stuff coming out of you. You shower it, you take it all away and it goes down the drain. So you smell better because you actually are cleaner. This is exactly what Beyond Oil does with food oil. We make it cleaner by removing the toxins. So that's where the health benefit lies. Now there are other aspects. If you look at this photo on the left, you're removing toxins. So the oil's cleaner, and look at the difference it has on the food quality.
Massive. Right? Yeah. You really start seeing it.
Yeah. Would you rather eat the fries on the left or on the right? You want to eat the ones on the right. They look better. They're crispier. They're lighter. Why? Because the oil's cleaner. Very simple.
Yeah.
What would be cool is if you had kind of like a social movement where you had customers that would start going out, that would start requesting or asking, do you guys use these products? And yeah. I feel like this story plays more in terms of a cultural and educational story, in the sense that if you have an awareness and people understand more of the impact or start to care more about the quality of food and what they eat and when they go out, it's up to the customers to kind of force this shift. And if people are more aware of this and more aware of how this industry can change, because there are options out there, then it puts a little more pressure on the industries to start realizing customers want this, and customers are going to start making decisions according to what actually is better suited for their health. Because this simple little product can solve fundamentally a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Or avoid a lot of problems.
No, you're quite right. If the customers are aware that there's a solution to a problem,
correct,
it's much easier to get them to do that.
Correct. So can we step back a little bit and kind of touch back on the story of Beyond Oil? So, you know, tell us, you know, how did Beyond Oil come to be? Who are the founders? So, and
it's a very typical Israeli story. I'm sure you're aware that Israelis have something in them that that invent amazing things. They're tenacious.
Yeah.
And that country is just full of products, world-changing, game-changing products. So the founder, Pinhas Or, had a very serious health condition that had to do with acidity in his body, and it caused him immense suffering. And he was a class action lawyer. He had no background whatsoever in chemistry or food oil. And as a typical Israeli, he decided to say, you know, figure out, why do I have this problem? Why have I been suffering all these years? He had strokes and other things related. So typical Israeli, he goes and he has a shed in his backyard. It's like, you know, the size of our bathroom or whatever over here. And he spends about 7 or 8 years in this shed, mixing stuff and reading and mixing, failing, trying, failing, you know, for 7 years. And, you know, 7 years later, after he had put a massive amount of his family fortune into this thing and this time, and, you know, had 5 kids, and he's still suffering from stroke, you know, the results and all that stuff, has his aha moment, gets this thing working, you know, it's got testing done, validations, got it patented. And then that's when we got in touch with them shortly after about getting them funded and helping them, you know, build a business. So when we brought our team, you know, together, like the gentleman I mentioned to you that, you know, persuaded me to do this deal, we actually brought commercial leads to this company. It wasn't just raising money and saying goodbye. We've really got involved. So we are helping the Israeli team build the business now, and not just getting it funded. So Jonathan Orr, Pinhas's son, is the CEO. He's a legitimate co-founder. But the family has their life into this company. They have started it from nothing. They put everything into it. And now we've got some deals in Israel, in North America, and Europe. And we're building this thing together with them. And we're on the cusp of you know, really pushing it heavily into the North American market.
I guess you could say that there's a little bit of chutzpah as well, right? Anything that comes out of Israel is coming, you know, there's always a little bit of of good luck behind it, right? I mean, they've built every application that's out there in the world. You mentioned transformational deals. There were some big ones, I think two of them really. I think there was one back in January as well. So yeah, maybe just talk about that, because this is really setting up for you guys to really potentially have a hockey stick growth pattern for the overall business.
Yeah, so about another kind of interesting kind of Israeli twist. To the story, there is a company in Israel that's in oil supply and oil collection. I think they have about 8,000 restaurants that they supply oil to and collect used oil. And they're only about an hour away from our facility in Israel. And they never heard of us this whole time that they were building this product and patenting and getting FDA clearance. And the Beyond Oil logo, I think, showed up on the guy's laptop, just an ad or pop-up or something. So he got a hold of us last January, and he had been selling competitive products to us for 15 plus years. And when he saw the claims we were making online, he was completely, you know, disregarding them, just like I had actually 2 years before that. And so anyway, he went to our R&D center, did the demos just like I had done, you know, prior to that, and did a 180 and said, well, this is, his words are actually revolutionary. This could be revolutionary for the oil industry. So about a month and a half later, we had a distribution deal signed with him. We gave him exclusivity in Israel. And now he is selling only our product. And keep in mind, this is a very important detail here. His company collects used oil from restaurants, okay? We make the oil last longer because we clean it up on a continuous basis. So we're actually reducing the supply of used oil that he's collecting. So he's got a business that he's been building for a long time, and he's signed on to sell a product that's arguably going to slow down his poor business.
Yep.
Why is he doing that? Because he thinks this is going to be revolutionary to the industry, and he wants to be ahead of it. So he's taking a risk. And so anyway, we got commercialized with him first. We sent our first 16-ton container to him last May. He has been rolling it out into the Israeli market since then, to his existing customers and some new customers. So that's been tremendous as far as validating our product, getting a little bit of revenue. We're learning how the process works better, making some mistakes and fixing them and learning. And so it's been tremendous. And since then, we've signed a couple of small deals in the UK and then the Southern US with some regional distributors. But more importantly than that, about 2 months ago, we signed a deal in Vancouver, Canada, which is where I'm based, with a company called West Coast Reduction. They're a very large company here that also collects used oil. And they're also involved in transport and in the refining business and oil. So we did some demos with them in December at some restaurants, some industrial factories, which I'll talk about in a minute. And they were convinced on the efficacy of the product, just like Fandango had been in Israel. So we signed with them in late January. And now what we've been doing over the last 2 months with them is we are doing demos and industrial protocols, restaurants as well, to prove up the product with new customers, train their staff, and roll this out in Canada and the Northwestern US.
So the interesting thing, and this is public information, right? This was done in, I believe it was January 25th, if I'm not mistaken, but they were the lead order on the private placement as well. And they are the largest used cooking oil collection company in Canada, or at least on the western coast.
In western Canada, yeah. The four provinces on the west, they have huge presence in the four western provinces and in Washington. So they led off the final tranche of the financing, so they're shareholders. So we have a strategic partner, which is what we want and frankly what we need. We are a small, tiny Israeli company. And getting strategic partners in the Western world is what we need to do to make this company go. So we're working on it with them, just like we are in our other distribution deals. And we're very excited about the next year and 2 years, what they're going to look like.
What I want to touch on is what's very validating with what you said is the fact that you have someone who's in the space who is technically going to be disrupted by this very technology, or not, I wouldn't call it technology, innovative product, not technology. Yeah. And the fact that they want to get involved with the disruption to be ahead of the curve is very validating, because you know that they're going to want to support this movement, because now they get to evolve with this innovation. So that's a very, very validating point. And can you touch at the same time about some of the feedback you've been seeing? Obviously, because you guys have been doing a lot more testing in Israel. And for sure, you guys have, like if you go on your YouTube channel, you guys have some people that kind of talk about their experience with the product. So could you touch a little bit on the feedback you guys have been getting in Israel?
Yeah, definitely. So it's interesting because I touched on it earlier on the call. We have three main benefits that come out of using this product. Number one, food's healthier.
Yeah.
Get out of toxins. We covered that. Number two, there are cost savings because, of course, you're making the oil last longer. So you have to buy the restaurants and these other companies have to buy less oil and dump less oil. So that's a big winner for a lot of these people. And then the other is legitimate environmental outcomes. So why? You're dumping less oil, so your food waste goes down. You're buying less oil, which means you're refining less oil. It takes, just as an example, several thousand liters of water to make 1 liter of food oil, between two, sometimes up to 10,000 liters for 1 liter of oil. If you extend oil life and reduce oil consumption by 40, 50, 60, 70%, depending on the context, just do the math. You're using that much less oil, so you need less water, less electricity, you're less diesel for transport. So you have measurable KPIs in the environmental side. But as we all know, a lot of these environmental products in the world, including EVs and whatever all else, they might be good for the environment or health, but they cost more money for the consumer, right? Think of an electric car versus a gas car. You got to pay way more money, let's be honest. But with Beyond Oil's product, you get the health and the environmental benefits, but it saves the industry money, whether it's the restaurant or an industrial factory, which we're getting into in a few minutes. So we have a product that produces environmental health benefits and saves money for the customer that's using it. And on top of that, we actually make the food taste better.
And that's go ahead. But here's the thing I think people should understand is, especially in this environment, like I'm going to touch a little bit on the macro side of things, is we're in an environment where people are very worried about inflation, especially restaurants who are constantly raising prices. Now you get to a point where if this continues, this trend, obviously it's going to hamper and really hurt the restaurant industry and the food industry. Now it comes to a point where the question has to be, do we keep focusing on raising prices or do we find a way to stop raising prices and start reducing costs? Yeah. So this is where you get a solution that comes into play that is a very innovative solution for the restaurant industry, the food industry, to be able to say, you know what, let's find ways to now cut costs so we don't have to keep raising prices, so we don't have to lose customers. And this is the type of things that I think the industry as a whole needs to start focusing on. And so this is definitely something out there that can provide that for them.
Yes, definitely. And that's the feedback we're getting, like to your question earlier, is some restaurant chains, ironically, the bigger they are, the more they care about the health and the environmental impacts. But the smaller mom and pops, it's about cost savings primarily. Yeah.
Bottom line, right? That's what they're worried about.
So we're getting different feedback from anybody. But the good news is, because of all three impacts that we consistently produce, we can be all things to all people and focus on one or two or all three, whatever they need. So the feedback has been good, and we expect, you know, in the next year is when we're going to start landing some bigger deals. We've done some demos with some very big companies, global companies, including one of the largest fast food chains in the world. Several months of demos and work, as you can imagine. You can't go up to a multi-billion dollar company and say, hey, let me dump this in your oil and everything's going to be great. It takes a lot of, you know, checking and double checking and triple checking And so we've been doing that, and we're always performing results, producing results, and the feedback has been good. And I'm very confident over the course of this year, we're going to be landing some very noticeable brands, recognizable brands, and producing all these results. So we started slow on purpose, validation, learning, all those things. And now we're ready to take it to the big leagues.
So I want to talk about maybe the economics too, because the cost saving benefit to potential clients and partners is evident from the internal business side, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously the company it's only been public, I think, since the beginning of 2022, right? So
mid 22,
right? And you really have two groups that you're going after. Like there's the food service and then there's the industrial fryer. Yeah. So talk about how that's going to affect, I guess, the overall business growth and then going into this I know you can't comment on some of those like exclusive deals, which is totally understandable, but assuming those start falling in, like how does that affect the business? Because ultimately, as a potential shareholder and anyone listening right now, they obviously want to see this as an opportunity, because I'm looking at the chart right now at this current price and the way the chart is setting up, it's a pretty attractive opportunity. But yes, what's sort of the economics, and maybe just touch base on the financials of the business?
Yeah, so you've hit it on the head. So the industrial is where this company goes really big, right? So what we're doing and what we have been doing is we're focusing first on restaurants publicly, right? We've been announcing these things and continuing to doing demos, and we will always continue to do that. Smaller companies first, then we go regional, and then hopefully these global chains. But where Beyond Oil becomes a big company, a successful company, is on these industrial deals. So if you've got, you know, we think about a restaurant that has 3 fryers, say 20 liters of fryers per fryer, you got 60 or 70 liters of oil. But you go to a factory that is mass producing frozen chicken fingers or French fries or corn dogs or whatever the case may be, donuts. They have thousands and thousands of liters of oil. And those companies have to care more about the environmental and the health aspects as well. So going after those companies and that sector is a priority for us, but we're doing it quietly right now. We are doing demos. We are testing our powder. We're working on filtration systems. It's very important to have compatibility in the filtration systems in these factories. So we're quietly doing that. But once we enter into that market, which I'm very confident will happen this year, that is when we're going to be working on mass volume for our product. We have given West Coast Reduction a right of first refusal to manufacture and produce our product in North America as part of our strategic deal with them. So once the revenues and the volumes and the demand is there, we will move production over here, which this is where the big market's going to be. And that's when our revenues can go up, you know, very significantly with these industrial deals and these larger restaurant chains.
It's very exciting because, again, it's such an, I don't want to say it's an infancy stage, because there's already like, you've already have those strategic partnerships in place. That's mm-hmm. always really key. Mm-hmm. But this has a real impact to change the world, right? And not a lot of companies can actually say that. It's not like, it's a mining company, and no disrespect to the mining companies that, you know, we've interviewed, but it's like, this really has a global footprint impact. Yeah. So like, for example, like, and again, I don't know if this is the case, but like, maybe like a Dunkin' Donuts, right, mm-hmm. would be a potential big client, right? Like those are sort of this is more for the listeners to understand, but like those would be like the brand names that people could associate. It's like, you can go in there and provide that technology or the solution, and they're actually going to see cost savings while also a reduction in the carbon footprint. So that leads me into sort of my next question, because this term has been thrown around so significantly, and it's allowed companies to, one, make some additional cash flow while also providing the end users some form of a credit, and it's carbon credits, right? So how much of, I guess, of a discussion has this been talked about internally on with your team? Because this has an opportunity as well to provide more financial flexibility, but there is an opportunity for the end user to get half of a credit or 25% of the credit that they use to offset their carbon footprint.
So I can tell you it's on our minds. We've discussed it. We're researching it. It's something that we'll take seriously. We're not moving on it at this moment, because again, we're really focused on now, as far as the rollout, like getting West Coast moving, getting moving into the industrial scene and the industrial market with our product. But as we mature over the coming months and the coming year, moving into that the carbon credit world is something we'll be looking into, because you're not the first person that has brought it up. It's important. It's real, and we are taking it seriously. So first, we want to show the world what we can do economically and health-wise, and then we'll move into that stage.
It's honestly, it's fascinating to see the disruptive components of the small cap space. So, you know, and Pat, back to your point you said before, it's rare you get to see something that is disruptive, that is beneficial for the environment, that doesn't actually require more as a consumer, and it actually brings your costs down while you can actually do what you say you want to do in terms of have better actions and actually be of service to the environment in which you do it every day. So this kind of falls, it was like that missing piece in to complete that puzzle, you know? So it's fascinating how such a simple little product can really disrupt the space to that extent.
Indeed. And many Israeli products have done that in the past and are doing it now. Mm-hmm. So we're confident this is going to be one of them. And, you know, I think, you know, Dan, you mentioned on the investment side and how we're here now. We have a very, very tight share structure in this company. It is very tightly held. The founders, as I mentioned, they have their lives into this company. And because when we went public back in 22, the market had started going down. So we ended up raising virtually all the money ourselves. And so we know most of the shareholders. Most of them are, you know, long-termers. There's a lot of wealthy Israelis as shareholders into this company. And so when the time comes for us to actually be announcing these commercial deals on a durable basis, ongoing basis, we think the stock can move quite heavily. And we think that the move will be durable. We're not interested in up and down. We're building a business here, a real business. And as we start announcing recognizable brands and proving up for the industrial sector and eventually getting into production in North America, this is going to become a very attractive investment. It's a very sexy story, as you've mentioned, but it's also going to have a very strong foundation as a business. Mm-hmm. We're doing both. We're not interested in just flash in the pan here. We're building a real business with a sexy story behind it.
Yeah. So just so the listeners know, I think there's about 54 million shares outstanding and issued, and then 24 million are held by insiders in the founders group. So that only leaves, you know, you've got probably maybe, it's a very tight float. So any major milestone and a major deal would actually move the needle here. So very interesting conversation for sure. We're going to be following this story very closely. I think a lot of investors right now should probably put this on their watch list. There's no question about that. I know I will. But Robert, where can the listeners find you here?
So we're, first of all, we're listed on the CSE with the ticker BOIL. So easy to remember. We're on the OTC. And I confess, I can't remember the ticker because it is not easy to remember. But we have a
BEOLF on the QB.
That's right. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it? That's the one they gave us, though, so we're stuck with it. But BOIL is easy to remember. We have a website, beyondoil.co. We are on LinkedIn. We're all over social media. Our website has a lot of great videos, by the way, including we have a YouTube page with a lot of good customer testimonials. Mm-hmm. One out a couple of months ago with a restaurant in Vancouver, actually, that's using the product. We did a promotional video with the owners and the chefs. They're talking about how the food quality has increased and so on. So we got tons of customer testimonials on YouTube that people can check out. They're short and sweet. And investor deck and everything's on our website.
Awesome. Well, look, we appreciate your time. Good luck with everything. And you'll probably get a phone call from Nick or myself when we start accumulating slowly here. And again, this is not investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. But very interesting story. But Robert, thank you so much for coming on here.
Gentlemen, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Of course.
All right, everybody. That wraps up this episode of the Capital Market Series. And we'll see you next time.
Ciao, guys.